Okay, so this is Chris Fisher with the Connecticut Crossroads Project, and I'm joined here by, sir, what's your name?
Larry Neary.
So, Larry, we're talking about fair memory specifically right now, and how long have you been involved with the fair, and what does that mean to you?
Well, my wife Sandy and I moved to Bridgewater in 1978, so that means 42 fairs, and I think this year would have been their 68th fair, so we've been participated in about two-thirds of them, I guess.
Okay. Had you, I mean, I know you were sort of local, right, prior to that?
We're from Brookfield. We had two homes in Brookfield before moving to Bridgewater. And Bridgewater was just, I can't even describe it. You just got a special vibe, I did, driving through Bridgewater. I just felt something. And my wife grew up in Hawleyville, which wasn't far from Brookfield, obviously. But we had two homes in Brookfield over about a seven-year period. And I drove through town once, and I just fell in love with it. And I used to be part of the Big Brother program and try to find stuff for a kid from Danbury to do. We'd come up to Bridgewater, and we'd walk. And we'd walk Northrop Street. And turns out first house we bought was Northrop Street, and we stayed there for 36 years.
Gosh.
Yeah, before we downsized. So I remember back the first fair. I had never been to a fair before. Mm-hmm. I'd been to the Danbury Fair when Sandy and I were dating way back when in the 60s, and that still existed, but had never been to as close as we were, and we were probably 5 miles away, mm-hmm. had never been to a fair, Bridgewater Fair. But now that we lived in Bridgewater, we came to the fair, and we found this sort of kindness there, where people were helpful to each other, they knew each other. There was just, again, something very Bridgewater about it. And I know there are other country fairs, and this one is actually a fireman's fair. Mm-hmm. But there are other fairs that maybe have the same feeling, but now that we belong to the town, we belong to this fair. And then, of course, after that, you know, it doesn't take long for them to get their hooks into you. We started working at the fair, and sometimes it became too much. I remember one year, we actually, I counted it, cataloged 42 hours in four different jobs at the fair, from cooking to taking tickets to working at the church booth, selling tickets. It was actually too much. But that's 2.5 days, 42 hours in 2.5 days. So we worked almost the entire time, mm-hmm. that one weekend, and I vowed never to do that much again. But I don't want to say it's an obligation, because it's a welcomed obligation to work at the fair. You know, we have we raised two children in Bridgewater, and I got to see the fair through their eyes, and it's a rite of passage for children to work at the fair.
Oh, wow.
And when they become old enough to work at the fair, it's sort of growing up. You know, mm-hmm. it's a special thing. And I'm involved with the scholarship committee in town. I have been for 22 years. And part of the application, they asked the students to get scholarships, what community activities are you involved in? Well, the Bridgewater Fair is a given.
Right.
You know, that's like, so everybody knows Mandarin Chinese just speaking. You know, I mean,
right.
If you're Chinese, you know how to do that. We almost discount that, because mm-hmm. so what else do you do?
Right,
you know,
right.
Everybody does that. But some of the warm and fuzzies of the fair, and maybe you can't do it today or parents won't do it, but you might have 6,000-7,000 people at any one time on that field, and you could have a 5-year-old way back when, mm-hmm. and just let them go.
Right.
And not worry a bit about them, because you know that there's 200-400 sets of eyes watching out for them if there was ever a problem. it wouldn't be a problem for long.
Right.
And so I remember back as to that sort of warm and fuzzy feeling that my family was having a celebration and my kids participated in that celebration. So that that is one of the wonderful things, and of course the fact that this supports the firemen and the EMTs and all of that is immensely important in this town. And it's so sad that this year, 2020, we are not able to have that fundraiser for the firemen. So very sad, but we'll get over it. Bridgewater does. Bridgewater is an amazing town, and you have to either work or live here to know that this is not like other towns that I've ever known. And it's a very, very special place.
You've said to me before that Bridgewater, more than any other place, is suited to hospitality, I guess, because of the fair, because everyone stops.
Yeah, I have a theory on, you know, there have been studies done that I've read that said Litchfield County, Connecticut has the highest incidence of volunteerism in the entire state. Of all of the counties in the state, Litchfield County is tops. And I don't know that they've ever drilled down on that, but I think if they did, they'd find out Bridgewater was number one in Litchfield County. We are always number one in terms of voting, for example, in the state for all of the towns. We turn out like 75 or 80% of the voters in this town vote for local elections, let alone national. Yeah. So we're always getting that annual award. We sort of own it at this point. But I have a theory about volunteering in Bridgewater. Most of the people that I know volunteer for multiple things. They may volunteer for two or three things. One may have to do with the church, maybe the food pantry, always the fair. But my theory is this. I think that we are retaught every year on the third full weekend of August that we can do anything. We feed and entertain tens of thousands of people, all volunteer. Even the manager of the fair is volunteer. And that is a reminder to us that we can volunteer, that we can essentially do it ourselves, do everything, and give of ourselves. It's an amazing renewal, and I think it all has to do with the fair. I really do.
Do you think so that Bridgewater reflects the fair? How does the fair reflect Bridgewater?
I think it's all one thing.
Okay,
which came first, the chicken or the egg? You know, we've melded this thing after 68 years, and I suspect 69 years ago, this still would have been a pretty nice place. I don't know, but I bet it would have been. But the fair is an outgrowth of the town. So the fair is the town, and the town is the fair. And by the way, it's not just Bridgewater people that work at the fair. We couldn't run that fair without people from New Milford and Brookfield and Danbury and all over the place. People really, they become Bridgewater people for 2.5 days a year.
You know, I think that's something that's so incredibly special about Bridgewater is the welcoming nature of it. And it's not just the fair, right? Like, so you become, people just welcome you into the community. Like, they take you as one of their own.
They really do. Yeah, it's, I think part of it is size. Part of it is location. We're the lowest town geographically in Litchfield County. So we belong to Litchfield County, but we're not Litchfield. We're right next to Fairfield County, but we're not Fairfield. We're probably more diverse than towns 10 times our size. You know, we have our own billionaire, we have our own farmers, and we have everybody in between socioeconomic wise, and they all get along.
Right.
You know, I mean, for the most part, there's a certain camaraderie that if you're from Bridgewater, you're, you know, you belong to a very special group.
Absolutely.
And we take care of each other. I've seen incidents. When we first moved into town, it has nothing to do with the fair, but Mary Allen used to live in town, an old-time gal. She used to call Wee Walker Brook, Wee Walkie Brook. But I told her one time, we had just moved in, that I needed stone for a stone wall. She said, well, we have a stone wall that we have to move. And she said, Jimmy, I want to give Larry that stone wall, and you're going to help him move it. So not only was she going to give me this thing, she required that her son help me move it, which I didn't let him do.
Right.
But that was emblematic of the approach that we had here. We had neighbors that were formerly farmers from Maine, and they became surrogate grandparents to our children. What a wonderful thing we had, and the kids growing up. And the Bridgewater Fair, back to your comment, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I think the fair is the town, and the town is the fair. Mm-hmm. Would Bridgewater still be Bridgewater without the fair? Not so much.
Right.
Not so much. And part of it is this thing that I said earlier, that I honestly think that this renewal, we have a renewal, the third weekend, full weekend of August, where we're, again, reminded as to what we can do when we pull together.
Mm-hmm.
There's this feeling of accomplishment every time we do this. And I suspect that the same would be true if you weather a hurricane together and you help your neighbor fill sandbags or whatever. There's something that happens once you're still alive and that thing is gone and you've helped your neighbor, you've worked with somebody that you wouldn't normally work with during the year. You've sold tickets with them, or, you know, at the booth, you've let people in, you've, you know, maybe cooked at that tent with somebody, and you get to know them a little bit better, mm-hmm. in a different level and a better appreciation for them.
Yeah.
And that's what Bridgewater is. It's small enough to be friendly, and it's smart enough to be smart.
So what do you think the fair's biggest challenge is going to be? I mean, as moving outside of COVID, like, if you ignore that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I felt for some time that commercialism. I think the fair needs to make sure that still has sort of that 4-H feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's no secret that we've lost farmers and farming people and so on. It still, I think, needs to have that feel. But it's got the core of the firemen.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they're there, it is a fireman's fair.
Right.
And you've got the fireman's parade. And as long as they do that, things become more expensive. And yet, it's so unique that if they jack the price, and we have over the years, we've jacked the price up getting in, or,
mm-hmm.
and I work at the church thing that we used to charge, I don't know, 75 cents for lemonade, and now it's $1.50 or something. Nobody bats an eye. So the financial part, I don't think... It's just renting the tents, maybe, and I'm not involved in the financial part. But I would say financial would be a concern of mine if I ran the fair. But the labor's free.
Right.
The people are going to work for nothing, and even the weekenders embrace this.
Yeah.
Many of them do. They feel like it's their obligation, but as I said before, a welcomed obligation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one year we weren't asked to do something, and I felt bad, you know, that we weren't asked. We still had other jobs, but we weren't asked to work the entry points.
Barbara Vidal, do you know Barbara? They live in town. You'd know her from by sight.
I'm sure I do.
She was telling me that before, like, when there were, you know, these weird things called phone books, the firemen used to go through and they would find folks who, like, just moved to town or whatever, and they would call them and ask them if they were interested in helping with the fair. Like, I always assumed it was, you know, firemen and, like, auxiliary who were made up the bulk of these workers.
Right, right.
And it's truly a community event.
Very much so. Very much so, yeah, very much so. And as I say, it's for the kids, it's a rite of passage.
Oh, yeah.
And when they're working there and they're being all grown up like and participating and with their friends, and, mm-hmm. and then they stay out later than they normally would on fair night, and so actually there have been young people that have told us that if they could only come back one weekend, it wouldn't even be Christmas, it'd be right. fair weekend, and that's saying a lot, mm-hmm. you know, that that this thing is that special. It reflects who the town is, and all of those wonderful parts of this town seem to come together all at one time for that 2.5 days. Pretty remarkable stuff.
Do you have any specific memories you want to share of the fair?
I don't even know if I should say this. This is a little bit of a joke. We were out in front of the watching the firemen's parade on a Friday night, and in front of the church, the Congregational Church. And I was with a friend of mine who was a very, very funny guy. And our fire truck came by, and there's, I don't know, 60 towns or something represented. And the Bridgewater fire truck came by, and the fire truck was pulling a wagon that was painted just like the truck. It was a beautiful thing, and it had stenciling on it just like the truck did. Wow. But it was a big trailer being pulled by it. And I said to my friend Jim, I wonder what they have in the trailer. And he, without batting an eye, he said, marshmallows. So but we had so much fun, so much laughter, so many good times at the fair. It'd be very hard to recount them specifically, except that it has been part of our life for 42 years now. It seems very weird not to have it happen this year.
Yeah.
But like everything else in 2020, we'll appreciate it more in 2021.
Absolutely.
And realize, you know, just what we had. Carole King's, what was that? No, it wasn't Carole King, but you don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah.
That's Joni Mitchell with Put Up a Parking Lot. And so much of 2020, what we have lost for the moment, momentarily, was a lot more important to us than we gave it credit for. And the Bridgewater Fair is one of those things.
Yeah. Well, this is perfect. Do you have anything else you want to add, Larry?
I don't. But thank you very much for inviting me to remember some things in a place that I should sell real estate in Bridgewater. I just think so much of it that it would be an easy sell for me.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay.